A family who returns from a long holiday only to find that their home has been furnished with new items in a most ordered and perfect manner, and that every detail has been thought of and provided to meet their needs, will be most astonished and affected. They will wonder who arranged this surprise. Of course, it is impossible to stay indifferent to such an astounding surprise. For example, would they really say, "We don't really care how this happened, just as long as it happened"? Or would they suppose that everything happened by itself or by chance, and that the new furniture decided on its own to install itself there? Such ideas are laughable, for all events are the result of a certain intelligence, consciousness, and power that makes them happen. For that reason, the existence of someone who has thought of everything and consciously arranged it is clear. This example also applies to the universe, our world, and all of its living and non-living entities. There are countless, infinitely complex systems and delicate balances in the universe, in all of existence and all phenomena, from the human body to the sky, from animals to the depths of the ocean. Everyone who can think and reason sees that only God, with His superior power and intelligence, could have created these complex systems and delicate balances. Brightly colored, sweet-smelling flowers, delicious fruits and vegetables that spring from muddy soil, the sense organs which enable us to enjoy each created item's unique properties, the human body with its many complex systems, all of which work in harmony. The sun, which illuminates and warm, and its ideal size and distance from our earth. The rain, which brings bone-dry soil to life. The earth is full of such proofs revealing the superior might and knowledge of God. The Quran refers to two important features that lead to these signs being deepened and understood. Thinking deeply and possessing knowledge. In many of his verses, God wills us to think about the things he has created and thus to learn from and be advised by them. In the creation of the heavens and earth, and the alternation of the night and day, and the ships that sail the seas to people's benefit, and the water that God sends down from the sky, by which he brings earth to life when it was dead, and scatters about in it creatures of every kind, and the varying direction of the winds and the clouds subservient between heaven and earth, there are signs for people who use their intellect. All living and non-living things have been created in a way that is designed to encourage us to ponder His superior power of creation, art, and knowledge. Ignoring and failing to give these matters their due importance means turning one's back upon His verses, something that all believers must avoid. It is of great importance to constantly reflect on the proofs of God's creation in order to acquire a greater depth of contemplation. Verses refer to believers reflecting long and hard on the creation, for instance, of the earth and sky. In the creation of the heavens and earth, and the alternation of night and day, there are signs for people with intelligence. Those who remember God, standing, sitting, and lying on their sides, and reflect on the creation of the heavens and earth. Our Lord, you have not created this for nothing. Glory be to you. So safeguard us from the punishment of the fire. God has revealed that the signs leading to faith have a great significance for thinking people. However, the thinking referred to here does not consist of such cliched reactions as, how splendidly God has created these, or what a magnificent animal. We must think long and hard as well as deeply, in a wide-ranging manner, about what God has created so that we can identify the wisdom and detail in that creation and thus bear witness to His infinite knowledge, might, and artistry. It is He who sends down water from the sky. From it you drink, and from it come the shrubs among which you graze your herds. And by it He makes crops grow for you, and olives and dates and grapes and fruit of every kind. There is certainly a sign in that for people who reflect. Water is a blessing that covers much of the earth. It can almost always be found with ease. The great majority of people have perhaps never even thought once about the water they drink every day. They regard water and how it meets our needs as something that does not require any consideration. The fact is, however, that the physical and chemical properties of water could have been very different had God so willed. In addition, the atmosphere's structure or temperature could have been different. If that were the case, there would be no clouds and thus no sources of fresh water on Earth. All we would have is the salty water of the oceans, in which case humanity would not have survived, or would have done so only in a state of great difficulty due to a constant water crisis. Without fresh water, there would have been no agriculture, and the world would have become a vast desert whose only product would be famine. Yet God gave us fresh water just about everywhere in the world. For this, we must thank Him. But to genuinely feel and express that gratitude, first of all, we must realize that water is a blessing. This, in turn, depends on thinking. People are so familiar with the existence of water that they perhaps never think about the way a large part of the earth is covered in it. Yet the fact that among all the known heavenly bodies, only the earth possesses water, and especially the fact that this water is drinkable, is a matter of the very greatest importance. Example of water applies to all natural entity, living thing, and phenomena around us, each of which is a blessing from God. Yet in order to comprehend this, we need to ask, what would have happened had things been different, and make the necessary comparison. And along with this, we must understand that God has created the most delicate balances in all things. One of the methods to be used when thinking about the proofs God places before us is to examine and compare entities and phenomena around us. For example, when you cut yourself, or when an old wound opens up again, you know that the bleeding will eventually stop. A clot will form and solidify over the cut, and the wound will heal. This might appear to be an unremarkable process, but if you consider it in a little more depth, you will realize that the clotting process is far more extraordinary than you had imagined.
Once bleeding has started, clotting needs to happen straight away in order to prevent the living tissue dying from loss of blood.
In addition to this, the clot needs to extend along the entire length of the wound, and, most importantly of all, not to exceed the bounds of the cut. Otherwise, all the creature's blood will coagulate and kill it. Therefore, blood clotting must be kept under strict control, and the clot must form in exactly the right place and at exactly the right time. What would happen if there were the slightest impairment in this perfectly functioning system? If blood clotting happened even in the absence of any wound? Or if the clot forming around the wound were easily detached from it? There is only one answer to these questions. In that event, the blood vessels leading to such vital organs as the heart, lung, or brain would become blocked, and death would be the inevitable result. However, apart from serious cases of ill health, these events are occurrences that are quite rare, and almost everyone is able to enjoy a healthy life. We must therefore conclude from this that the human body has been flawlessly created. This system, every detail of which is the product of a separate plan and calculation, reveals the perfection of creation. God, who created us and brought us into this world, has created our bodies with a perfect system that protects us from wounds, both great and small. Let us now continue with another example requiring thought and comparison. Just about everybody knows that flies beat their wings faster than the eye can see. Some small species of fly are able to beat their wings 1,000 times a second. Where does the fly obtain the energy necessary for such awe-inspiring motion? And how does it cope with the heat that such motion gives rise to? In order to comprehend the extraordinary nature of this, please open your arms out wide and try raising and lowering them a few times in 1 second. You will see that you will be unable to perform this action after a short length of time. Now try and imagine the pain you would feel if you raised and lowered your arms 1,000 times. This will better enable us to understand the miraculous nature of the motion that the fly performs throughout its life. This small example is sufficient to show that there is an extraordinary creation in all living things.
Even a single fly is a miracle, revealing the flawlessness of God's creation. In the Quran, God calls upon us to reflect on this fact.
O humanity, an example has been made, so listen to it carefully. Those whom you call upon besides God are not even able to create a single fly, even if they were to join together to do it. And if a fly steals something from them, they cannot get it back. How feeble are both the seeker and the sought. Another astonishing example, in comparison with modern-day technology, is the water-carrying system in trees. Most people are unaware that a motor is necessary to raise water up to higher levels. Pressure tanks, for example, are used to raise water to the upper stories of city buildings. Trees also have to raise the water they obtain from the soil up to their highest levels. So how is it that water can be raised as much as 120 meters in some trees, as is the case with giant sequoias? Scientists proposed various theories as to how this process takes place. The mechanisms proposed by those theories that could be proven by experiments are to a large extent regarded as valid. The conclusion drawn by scientists as a result of all this endeavor is the flawless nature of the pressure tank system in trees. This incomparable water pumping system in tree trunks is just one of the proofs revealing to us the omniscience of its creator. It is God who has created this water-carrying system in trees, as he has everything else in the universe. Birds expend large amounts of energy in order to fly. They therefore require much more fuel and large quantities of oxygen with which to burn that fuel than all land or sea-dwelling creatures. Some migratory birds fly at very high altitudes. Geese, for example, can fly at 8,000 meters, bearing in mind the fact that even at 5,000 meters, the atmosphere is 63% more dense than that of sea level, one can better comprehend the extraordinary nature of the altitudes achieved by geese. That is because a bird flying in such a rarefied atmosphere has to beat its wings very fast and consume considerable quantities of oxygen. Yet there is much less oxygen there than at sea level. So how is it that the birds are able to fly under such difficult conditions? Birds' lungs have been created so as to make the most effective use of oxygen. The lungs, which function in a very different way to those of mammals, allow birds to obtain more than normal levels of energy from the air. This matchless structure of the avian lung demonstrates the existence of a most perfect creation, intended to meet the need for high levels of oxygen essential for flight. It is clear that the avian lung is just one of the proofs that God has created living things. The second feature required in acquiring a deeper appreciation and understanding of the signs leading to faith is possessing knowledge. But in order to see a subject as a sign leading to faith, there is no need to know its most striking aspects or to have wide and detailed information about it. rational people, looking around themselves, immediately realize the extraordinary nature of what they see and that everything has a creator. When they see an insect, such as a dragonfly, they know that it has a creator. The mere existence of a living thing is enough to understand that it is a sign of God's creation. Thinking about the detailed information one can gather about that creature is a means whereby faith and enthusiasm can be increased. In the present day, thanks to such branches of science as medicine, biology, and astronomy, the miracles and beauties of God's creation can be perceived more clearly and in greater detail. People who learn these facts and evaluate the wisdom and beauty created by God become greatly more in awe of His infinite might. Both a small child with very limited information and a superbly educated professor who has spent years studying can both see and witness God's signs when they approach the matter with sincerity and an unbiased view. However, in order for people to think deeply about those entities that they cannot see, they require wide-ranging information. With regard to what they can see, they need to learn about them in order to deepen their consideration. Otherwise, their consideration will remain with fixed bound and may at times be superficial. For example, those who have no knowledge of the systems in space, but who nevertheless look up at the sky and ponder them, will inevitably have different thoughts than those who have a deep knowledge of astronomy. Similarly, the way in which someone with a broad knowledge of the human body's physiology and anatomy comprehends the fine detail, miracles, and marvels apparent in humanity's creation will be deeper and broader than that of someone with no knowledge of the subject. Indeed, God informs us that from the point of view of reasoning and comprehension, those with knowledge are superior to those who have no knowledge. Such metaphors, we devise them for humanity, but only those with knowledge understand them. Among his signs is the creation of the heavens and earth and the variety of your languages and colors. There are certainly signs in that for those who know. What about the one who spends the night hours in prayer, prostrating and standing up, mindful of the hereafter, hoping for the mercy of his Lord? Say, are they the same, those who know and those who do not know? It is only people of intelligence who pay heed. However, we need to recall that information unaccompanied by the intellect, conscience, and foresight necessary to interpret it does not lead a person to the truth. The detailed knowledge possessed by a sincere, unbiased person is important in his or her quest to know God better and to draw closer to Him. Thus, today's advances in science and technology help us see and witness the knowledge, wisdom, artistry, and fine detail in God's creation from a much closer observation point. Let us give an example. Anyone who thinks about the honeybee a little will realize that what this tiny creature does and the honey God places at our disposal by means of it are a great blessing. The information obtained as a result of research in this area will enable the might and omniscience of God to be understood. Forty 40,000 bees have to visit 6 million flowers to produce 1 kilo of honey. The fastest computers in the world can perform 16 billion mathematical calculations a second,
The honeybee, on the other hand, can perform 10 trillion calculations in that same time frame,
while also expending less energy. The brain of the honeybee, which consumes less than 10 microwatts, is 100 million times superior to the most efficient computers produced in the present day. Honeybees are able to collect the nectar from 100 million flowers to fill a comb, and are able to beat their wings for 100,000 kilometers. In order for a colony of bees to produce 1 kilo of honey, they need to fly the equivalent of 6 times around the Earth. A bee in flight needs 0.5 milligram of honey, 1/2000 of a gram, for energy every kilometer. On 1 kilo of honey, a bee could fly 3 million kilometers at 25 kilometers an hour, while beating its wings between 200 and 250 times a second. The weight of the eggs laid by the queen bee in the course of a single day can be as much as 20 times her own weight. A bee can pull a load of 330 times its own body weight. Every honeycomb cell is 12 millimeters deep. The walls of the comb are as little as 1/20 of a millimeter thick.
Yet the comb suffers no harm when it is filled with honey, since its cells are built to a hexagonal structure that confers on it maximum resistance.
Several kilograms of honey can thus be stored in safety in a slice of a comb. Every rational person of good conscience can draw the following conclusion from even this limited information. God has created honeybees together with their exceptional abilities, as he has all other living things, and he has placed them at the service of human beings by giving them the ability to produce more honey than they need. God has infinite affection and compassion for his servants. He is the sole Lord of everything in the earth and sky, and of all living things. Every kind of property possessed by living things is a manifestation on earth of his infinite knowledge and might. In the Quran, God invites us to reflect on this by drawing our attention to the honeybee. Your Lord revealed to the bees, "Build dwellings in the mountains and the trees, and also in the structures which men erect. Then eat from every kind of fruit and travel the paths of your Lord, which have been made easy for you to follow. From inside them comes a drink of varying colors, containing healing for humanity. There is certainly a sign in that for people who reflect." These visible and invisible manifestations around us are all vital signs of faith for those who search with reason and good conscience. An ant walking in a garden, a flower on a table, a cat in a street or in a house, a dog or a bird, our bodies, the order in the earth and the sky, rain, the atmosphere that both surrounds us and protects us from harmful rays, an object from outer space, and an infinite number of other things. All of these are signs that lead to faith for people who seek to know God. All believers are responsible for using God's verses to understand whatever they see and hear, and to think deeply about them. Every unbiased person is aware of this. Believers also know that they will be unable to account for their behavior if they live among the millions of living things created by God that exist between earth and the boundless heavens, and yet fail to think about them. Imagine that you have set out on a journey inside your own body. Unbelievable surprises await you. You will see, for instance, that there is a generator in your heart, and that if that generator ceases working, there is a spare one to replace it. You will witness that the cells in your small intestine are able to recognize and catch iron atoms from among the hundreds of different substances that pass in front of them. You will also see how the hormone molecule produced in a hormonal gland in the head region reaches its far-distant objective. During the course of this tour of your body, you will witness miraculous events that take place at every point and interval. Looked at from this perspective, the human body is like a city or a world unto itself. Inside that city, there are means of transport, buildings, factories, infrastructure systems, apparatus equipped with a technology far superior to the most advanced human technology, expert personnel displaying an unexpected consciousness, fully equipped troops, and much else beside. Furthermore, this world does not exist in your body alone. Everyone you see around you, your mother, father, brother, or sister, friends, people in the street, actors you watch on television, in short, everyone alive on this earth, and even everyone who has ever lived since the creation of the first human being, possesses this same flawless world. One needs to reflect in a very sincere manner in order to become acquainted with this world and become aware of the proofs of flawless creation within it. The five senses are arranged entirely according to the human need. For instance, the ear can only sense those sound vibrations that are within certain limits. At first glance, to hear within a larger range might seem more advantageous, yet these sensory limits, called the hearing threshold, are regulated for a purpose. If we possessed very sensitive hearing, then we might even hear the noise made by an ant as it walks along. Then, life really would be very irritating for us. The same delicate balance holds true also for the sense of touch. The nerves sensitive to touch lying under the human skin are made sensitive in the best possible way and are spread all over the body. The nerves are amassed mainly on our fingertips. Comparatively, less important regions of the body, such as our backs, have fewer nerves. This provides great advantages for man. Let us imagine if the contrary was the case, that our fingertips were extremely insensitive and that the majority of nerves were collected on our backs. There is no doubt that this would be very troublesome. Development of the organs is an example of this delicate balance. For instance, think about hair and the eyelashes. Although both are ultimately hair, they do not grow equally in the same period. Suppose that eyelashes grew as fast as our hair. They would impede our sight and go into our eyes, thus harming one of our most vital organs. Eyelashes have a certain length that stays constant. If by any means, such as burning or an accident, they shorten, then they elongate until they reach their ideal length and stop again. Even the shape of the lashes is very important. Since they curl slightly upwards, they do not restrict sight, and they give the eyes an aesthetic look. As the lashes grow, they are covered by an unusual oil secreted by specific glands located at the rim of the eyelids. This is why our lashes are not rough and straight like a brush. This measured creation is strikingly revealed in the newborn baby as well as in adolescence. For instance, the newborn baby's skull bones are very soft and can, to a limited extent, move over one another. This flexibility facilitates the emergence of the baby's head from the womb without harm. If these skull bones were inflexible, during birth they could crack and cause serious damage to the baby's brain. With the same flawlessness, all of the organs in a human being develop in harmony with each other in the course of development. For example, in the development of the head, the skull that encases the brain grows along with it. A skull developing comparatively slower than the brain would compress it and cause death in a short time. The same balance is also true for other organs, such as the heart, lungs, and thorax, the eye, and eye socket. For this reason, it is useful to examine the extraordinary structures of our body to see the art and might in the creation. Every part of our body, the structures of which is more perfect than the most advanced factories equipped with the latest technologies, displays the matchless creation of God and proves His sovereignty over our entire body. Let us cite another very important example for our lives. Speech is an effortless function of most human beings. Man never plans how far apart the vocal cords should be, how often they should vibrate, in which sequence, how often, and which of the hundreds of muscles in the mouth, tongue, and throat should be contracted and relaxed. Nor does he calculate how many cubic centimeters of air should be inhaled into the lungs, and how fast and at which frequency this air should be exhaled. We could not do this even if we wanted to. Even a single word uttered from the mouth is an outcome of the collective working of many systems stretching from man's respiratory system to the nervous system, from the muscles to the bone. What happens in case of a problem in this coordination? Different expressions might appear on our faces when we want to smile. Or we might not manage to talk or walk when we want to. However, we can smile, talk, walk anytime we want, and no problems occur, because everything mentioned here is accomplished as a result of the fact of creation, which logically requires infinite intelligence and power. For this reason, man should always remember that he owes his being and life to his Creator, God. There is nothing for man to be arrogant or boastful about. His health, beauty, or strength is not his own work, and it is not given to him eternally. He certainly will become old and lose his health and beauty. In the Quran, this is stated as, Anything you have been given is only the enjoyment of the life of this world and its finery. What is with God is better and longer lasting, so will you not use your intellect?
İnsan eğer bunların çok daha üstünü,
if a person wants to attain attributes far superior to these, eternally in the hereafter, he must be grateful to God for the favors he has bestowed upon him and live his life according to his commands. As seen in these examples, all the organs and systems in the human body bear miraculous characteristics. When these characteristics are examined, man will see on what delicate balances his existence depends and the miracles in his creation, and will come to grasp once more the great art of God as exemplified in man. In the Quran, God commands us to reflect on the signs leading to faith. For that reason, thinking about these signs that encompass the universe is a constant religious observance for believers. Thanks to signs leading to faith, believers must better comprehend the names of God and the superior nature of these, and must seek to draw closer to Him. As a result of their deep reflection, they see the infinite nature of God's knowledge and might, and their fear of Him thus grows many times over. They spend their every moment in this world with the desire and longing to attain the approval, compassion and paradise of God. Those who fear hell and hope for paradise must work to attain our Lord's mercy, friendship and love by coming to know Him better. To that end, they must acquire a greater knowledge and understanding of His names by pondering deeply on the signs leading to faith. In addition, they must explain these signs to others and become a means whereby they increase their faith. This responsibility is incumbent upon all believers.